We've also
Yeah.
normalized snoring, where snoring is not normal. We shouldn't be snoring. Snoring means you have disturbance in your airflow, it's poor quality of sleep, you're increasing
A
symptoms.
lot of TMJ or temporomandibular jaw pain in urgent care, and I never once thought to ask the patient, well, how are you sleeping? And now that
Interesting.
I know everything about airway now, that would be one of my first questions with those patients is, how are
So
you
I
sleeping?
think also as patients, we have to be willing to accept some of the things that we're trying to incorporate into a more holistic approach at looking at airway. And your dentist should be asking about your airway and your sleep because it
I mean,
isn't.
she's like, my tongue has never sat there. My tongue is always down and it's supposed to be up. I mean, she couldn't believe it.
All right. Well, welcome to our very first podcast of Mouth Breathers for all you two listeners who are listening right now. We'll get into why it's called Mouth Breathers here later in the segment, but my name is Blair Eby. I'm a certified family nurse practitioner. I work for Breathe Airway in Meridian, Idaho, and I'm here with my colleagues. So I will let you guys introduce yourselves.
All right, well, I'm Dr. Chelsea Todd, and I've been doing airway now for a couple years. I used to do dentistry focused on kids and teens. And yeah, I've been loving the airway, my airway journey myself, and a lot of passion for this new emerging field in medicine.
And I'm Chelsea Hansen. I'm a hygienist, dental hygienist of 16 years, and a myofunctional therapist as of about 5 years now. So, and I've been working with Breathe Airway since we started.
So, what is Breathe Airway? Breathe Airway is our practice that is currently based out of Meridian, Idaho. We focus on, I like to say, we're functional sleep and airway medicine. And I feel like airway is a term that is used a lot these days, especially if you're kind of in the sort of functional, holistic medicine realm. I feel like the word airway has been popping up a lot lately. So, we'll, I guess kind of share with you a little bit more about what that means, how we started as a practice, what our goals are, that kind of thing. So you guys started in this first. So if you two, the Chelseas, kind of want to talk about how we started, We did.
go ahead.
So, really fascinating story, I think, for both of us. So, I had been doing dentistry and I met one of our partners, Lama Cray, and we were outdoors and we were doing some hiking, and he's, we're just having random conversation. He said, "Have you ever heard of airway? You should look into this." And so he started talking to me about it, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, like, yeah, this, I see a lot of kids. I see this as a thing that I see all the time in my practice." And he said, "You've got to take this course by Dr. Zaghi." And I looked online, just so happens it was coming up in a couple of weeks. I took the course by Dr. Zaghi, and it changed my life. I couldn't believe it. The things I had seen in kids and adults made sense. All these red flags, all these things that were going undiagnosed for years, all the, ADHD meds, like all these things related to airway that I had seen in kids. And I was just blown away that I had never heard about this through CE, dental school. No one was talking about it and really in the dental world. And so I just became, almost obsessed. I just couldn't believe how helpful this could be to my patients. And so I took more courses. I took Dr. Pinto's infant course. I really fell in love with the idea of treating infants at a young age, helping with breastfeeding, trying to correct these problems. Because I'd had a niece who had a really bad tongue tie, and she was released, and how much it helped her. And I just thought, this seems like what I want to do. I want to find root cause, do functional medicine, and really help these people versus just fixing all these cavities all the time and just saying, well, have better hygiene and eat better. And a lot of that's caused from mouth breathing. So it turned my whole career into wanting to treat airway. And so we actually decided to move to Boise for that reason. And partner, I met Chelsea. We hit it off day one. We just became each other's besties and decided like how to build this practice. She's a myofunctional therapist. And we just became teammates right from the beginning. We started working with the Breathe Institute more. We decided we want to take that to another level to become Breathe Institute affiliates. So we did that. We went to California, lots of training. And, you know, we started seeing airway patients at McRae Dental. And then we got really busy. And so we opened our first practice together, just the two of us. And it, you know, has been really great for about a year and a half. It was the two of us. And then, you know, we decided to make our model more of a medical model. And that's why we brought in Blair for nurse practitioner. But I'll let Chelsea talk about her story and how she got started.
My journey is a little bit longer than Dr. Todd's or Blair's. I started airway about 5 years ago with Dr. Lon McRae. I was a hygienist for him, and we took a Vivos course in Colorado, and I was literally sitting in the course, and a gentleman was sharing his story of being on ADHD medications and how he just kind of felt unheard and never, ever got answers. And I, at the time, had a son who was struggling in school and just struggling at life, and it really hit home. I immediately left that meeting saying that I wanted to become a myofunctional therapist, and I wanted to start incorporating it into my daily routine with my hygiene patients, because kid after kid had the same symptoms that this young man was speaking of being fixed or corrected with, you know, with an airway expansion, some myofunctional therapy, and a revision. And I just knew that we had to do more. We had to do more for our hygiene patients, that we were mistreating a lot of patients by not giving them this information, or not at least asking the questions about tongue position, where, you know, where their lips are throughout day and night. And I knew that we needed more. And so I started my journey there with that course, and then continued. And I took pretty much every big course in myofunctional therapy you could take to try to gather more information to bring back to McRae Dental. And that's where we started airway. And then, like Dr. Todd shared, we saw that it just was too much to do in a dental practice, and we needed to really devote more time to ask the questions and really dive into, you know, root causes. And so that's when Breathe Airway was born.
So. Yep. So yeah, within the last year, they brought me on as a nurse practitioner. We've been able to make it more of a medical model. It's been, you know, a bit of a transition, but actually this is the very first week that we've been able to work with insurers, medical insurance. So that's been very nice. So my background a little bit, so I'm a nurse practitioner, and somewhere during my nursing career, I don't know if it was more school or, you know, working as a nurse, but I kind of came to the idea that ties were lies. So tongue ties, that's another, you know, big topic that, you know, we'll talk about at some point, but it's a little, you know, a little controversial. Again, something that we're hearing a lot, I feel like, these days. And so when I came on to Breathe Airway, I was just completely blown away by everything I started learning about airway health. And so the, you know, mouth breathers, mouth breathing, I would say, is, you know, maybe the number one chief complaint that I see with all my new patient consults. Mouth breathing is a huge sign that there is an airway issue. And, you know, why does airway matter? Because the health of our airway has so much, almost everything to do with the rest of our overall body's health and wellness. It's insane how much of it is connected. So that's why we came up with the term mouth breathers. A lot of people are embarrassed at their mouth breathing, or, you know, I get a lot of people who come in with the chief complaint of snoring as well. A lot of people are embarrassed to say that they're snoring. There's nothing to be embarrassed about it.
But it's also not normal. We've also normalized snoring, where snoring is not normal. We shouldn't be snoring. Snoring means you have disturbance in your airflow. It's poor quality of sleep. You're increasing sympathetic nerve, like, so there's a lot of things, I guess, in our world that have been normalized. And for us, we're trying to re-educate people that, no, that mouth breathing, that's not normal. And, right, unless you have a cold, like, there's mm-hmm. different things that come up, right? But, you know, mouth breathing, snoring, we've just kind of made those things like, nah, I snore, no big deal. Well, it links to a lot of other things, and that we're finding more and more what happens when we have poor quality sleep, whether, and everyone's very different. So it might be you having more anxieties, depression, weight gain, like everyone's real different. So even with kids, we have some kids that are bedwetters. Some kids aren't bedwetters. Mm-hmm. Some kids have speech issues. Some don't. Some are restless sleepers. Some have ADHD. So it's hard because the spectrum of the symptoms can be all over the place, and they're specific to each person, how you're going to respond, mm-hmm. To an upper airway resistance syndrome, sleep disorder, breathing. So, we're trying to bring and highlight, those things, even in the dental world. One of the most normal questions I would get was, why does my kid grind? Why do I have so much grinding? And I would say, well, maybe there's new teeth coming in and kids just grind. And that's just kind of an answer that circulates within the community because we don't really have an answer. And there's published research now that shows grinding is related to having an airway issue. So,
and none of this stuff was ever focused on in any of my training, my graduate training. And a lot of what I've heard too is that it's not touched upon at all in medical schools. I think, I'm not saying anything negative about pediatricians, but I don't think it's a common, area of study in, medical programs. Pediatricians don't really know. We've had a lot of parents who bring their infants in who have very much are tongue-tied, and the pediatrician told them no. They've had multiple providers tell them no. And so I think that there is still a lot of like outreach and learning and what not to do. And so I think it's very awesome that, there are becoming more providers who are actually trained in it.
Yeah.
Because
a lot of this, you don't learn. We didn't learn any of this in dental school.
Yeah.
We touched very little on this. And then maybe other dental schools are maybe, with the increase of awareness, maybe more people are catching on and teaching it in those institutions. One of my favorite things that Dr. Zaghi always leads off with, and he's been everywhere, right? Harvard. He's been to all the big ones. So, but he says within 5 years, 50% of what you learned is going to be obsolete. You need to continually try to keep learning, because mm-hmm. if you're stuck with what you learned in school, you're going to be way left behind within 5 years. And that's so true, especially now with technology, research that we can do. And that's why, and we're still learning. This is a practice. It's emerging. We're always trying to do better. We're always trying to learn. And I think that's what is exciting for me, is that we are focused on prevention and how to improve lives, where so much of our Western medicine is just treat problem, problem, problem. You're sick, problem, problem, problem. Even with my son going through like a tongue tie and body work, we still do body work. And when I tell people, we have an appointment, we've got some body work, everyone's like, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong, but what we maintain, we do maintenance visits. And that's really what, Breathe Airway and Mayo, and we focus on how to maintain wellness and prevent things. We don't just wake up with severe sleep apnea. You start early, you start with upper airway resistance, and over time those things build, and that's why you end up with severe sleep apnea in your later years, and it's much harder to correct. So we're really trying to bring awareness of how this can be fixed for kids early on.
Kind of noticing the smoke that kind of starts to form when someone's younger, and trying to prevent it from turning into an actual fire when they are older.
Exactly.
It was really interesting coming from, so prior to Breathe Airway, I was a provider in urgent care, and a lot of what I saw in urgent care, I feel like could be related to or stems down to airway health. And working in urgent care at that time, I didn't know at all what I know now about mm-hmm. airway health. And looking back on it, I think, I wish I would have referred this patient to Breathe Airway at the time.
Well, how many in the dental world, how many times did we tell patients to have better hygiene and eat different, and they have a mouthful of cavities, and we're like,
sorry, don't know what to do. Yeah.
Looking back, they're probably narrow, they're mouth breathing. When you mouth breathe, you're getting cavities.
Every time.
Well, you're going to.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Todd, but I believe now dentists are supposed to be asking how well you sleep, and they are charged with checking actually airway. That is in their new bylaws. And I think that there's some pushback from patients. At least I noticed even when I was practicing hygiene, when I would talk to somebody about their quality of sleep, they'd ask me like, why do you care? You know, you're supposed to clean my teeth. And so I think also as patients, we have to be willing to accept some of the things that we're trying to incorporate into a more holistic approach at looking at airway. And, you know, your dentist should be asking about your airway and your sleep because it is in the mouth and that's the area that they're treating always every day. So,
well, for a long time and currently, you know, the mouth is kept such a distance separate. And separation from the medical
mm-hmm. yeah.
when it's a crucial part of the body mm-hmm. from infancy to like, this is where a lot of things start. And, you know, unfortunately like dental, you know, we got to look at that as part of our medical. It's what happens in our mouth can affect us medically in our bodies. And so we got to work on bringing those two things together. And you just don't show up at your dentist and teeth pull drill. Like there should be discussions and
ask questions,
help. Yeah. It's part of, you know, versus going, you know, the medical system's already overwhelmed. Like mm-hmm. dentists should be empowered to take that side of the medical world because we do see the mouth and we can catch those early red flags. So I, you know, I'm hoping this is the start of a lot of changes and movements within both of our fields.
Yeah. I saw a lot of TMJ or temporomandibular jaw pain in urgent care. And I never once thought to ask the patient, well, how are you sleeping?
Yeah,
and now that I know everything about airway now, you know, that would be one of my first questions with those patients is how are you sleeping?
And absolutely. And maybe order like a sleep study or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I still remember the first time I saw a patient with severe scalloping on their tongue. So scalloping are those ridges on the outside of your tongue caused by poor tongue space, your tongue trying to squeeze into a small space, the indents caused by the teeth. But I remember thinking like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with this patient's tongue? I just can't believe how unaware I was as a nurse practitioner in urgent care. But I think it's very interesting what Breathe Airway is doing because we're bringing together the dental and the medical world. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so, so important.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's important that those two things get linked up.
Well, the mouth provides two of our most important vital needs to survive. Airway, breathing, right? This comes to the mouth. I mean, right now it does for some patients. It should come through the nose, but it's still all connected. And then, of course, eating and chewing. I mean, that's done with our mouth. We need proper tongue movement, tongue space to eat. And once again, it's kind of just overlooked as those two vital, you know, vital needs are being missed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of it being overlooked, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you, how many people do we hear, you'll grow out of it, like for kids.
That's normal.
Or it's like, that's just kind of what it is.
Or genetic. We hear that's genetic a lot.
And you know, there can be, there's lots of different factors, but we don't like to, I guess, blow over stuff. Like we like to really look at why and how, and, you know, every patient's so different. Every baby that, you know, might be tied doesn't mean they can't feed, you know, they've got different symptoms. They're all going to be, takes a real thorough assessment. And that's what we, you know, pride ourselves on by doing. You know, we do CBCTs and we do sleep studies and we try to pull all the different aspects that a patient might be struggling with, because it's not just one. It's not just saying, hey, fix your tongue. You have a tongue tie, fix it and you can sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's way more complicated. You know, we've got soft palate and what I think it's overlooked a lot is the myofunctional therapy component, the function of the tongue. And that starts from infants to adults, tongue thrust. How does our tongue function? And that is such a huge aspect of what we do. So you got to look at the things structurally, how they function together. It's a lot of different pieces to kind of put the patient, you know, back together. And what's the best way to move forward with treatment to get them sleeping and breathing better?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the first part of that is awareness, right? We have to educate our patients. And that's what we pride ourselves on here at Breathe Airway as well, is trying to educate patients so that they know, you know, like the things in their life that could benefit from some of the services we offer.
Yep. And it's not just us. And we use a lot of different outside mm-hmm. therapists as well. So body work's important. Chiropractors are important. So we also utilize outside team members, you know, to help patients bring all those different things together. If they're really bound up and they kind of this bored head posture, I mean, we've had lots that do a tongue tie release, but then they go get some fascia work done. And, you know, it's not just the one stop fixes all. It's lots of different components when it comes to assessing patient needs.
And we always have lactation support. We need speech therapists. I don't treat speech. So there's a lot of components to get the tongue functioning the way it should.
Yeah. So I think this journey has been, I mean, really enlightening and really satisfying for me. I feel like we're making a difference. And some of the stories we've heard is just, it doesn't get any better than changing people's lives and fixing things where they've been suffering or going down different roads. I've seen so many doctors, and you're the first one that's, how many times have we heard that?
Hundreds.
Mom's crying. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the first time it's made sense. Like, especially with some of these kids, like bedwetting stories. I mean, it's just, it, the second we explain it to a mom about their kid, it just, the light goes on and they get it immediately because they see it. And like, that makes so much sense. It's from their sleep and this is how they sleep. So,
but I think it's important to note that, you know, while we can recommend treatment options and things that are, you know, likely going to help, it is a process. You know, a lot of our treatments are going to take, you know, a few months, a few years. It's a process, but you're going to have to, you know, be willing to put in the time to then get those, you know, lifelong results with it.
Well, that's why they call it an airway journey. You know, everyone struggling with airway has a journey because it's not black and white, and it's not the same for, you know, from patient to patient. And it does take time. It takes time to correct the poor habits that we've, you know, established in our daily routines.
So even if you come in and you see me and you have a CPAP and you hate your CPAP, we might need to maybe put you on a CPAP to begin with, or maybe keep you on your CPAP for a little while, but eventually kind of figure out, get to the root cause of things. You know, how can we get you off of a CPAP? And so it is, it's a journey. It's an airway journey. And so, you know, you just have to be patient and understand that it's a process, but we are making, you know, physical changes to improve your health.
Yeah. And there's a lot of new research that's being published too. Breathe Institute is always putting out new good articles. And so there's a lot of really great things advancing in our field in general with new research that's coming out.
And we love it because it helps back what we believe and we know to be true.
So what would you guys say if you had to summarize like the most surprising thing or the most interesting or the thing that stuck out to you the most when getting into the airway field, what would you say? You have to put it in a nutshell.
So I think the relationship of, you know, and I'm coming from a background where I saw a lot of kids in the dental world, right? Where again, we've normalized crowding and how the teeth come in, and realizing the impact the tongue has on our facial development.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too.
I mean, it's incredible. So like that, the tongue has a huge impact. So our downward vertical growth, our narrow, like think about the tongue being able to kind of shape your whole midface. That's pretty amazing.
I would say your resting tongue posture has so much to do with your entire overall wellness.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Agree. That was the big thing that stuck out to me when I got into the airway field.
Yeah. I mean, it is the craniofacial growth. It's the scaffolding that, you know, helps create that growth. And then it also creates proper chewing patterns, breathing patterns, right? If the tongue is in the right place, you're going to use the nose and not the mouth. So I think that was my biggest eye-opening thing.
Kind of the domino effect that happens from something that seems so simple.
Yeah.
And so silly. Right? Like just tongue posture.
Right. Well, I explain it to people sometimes and they look at me like I have three heads. But like, this is real. Yeah. Like the research is there. The evidence is there.
Yeah.
It might not be the biggest body of evidence, but it's there.
Yeah.
And this is a growing field.
Yeah.
But it's so true. And it's the smallest little thing. It's crazy.
But it has a big impact.
It does.
Yeah.
So that's funny. It's all kind of the same.
The same. Yeah.
So one takeaway then, I guess, you know, for our two listeners, if there is one thing that they could do today to help improve their airway, what would you say?
I'll start it out. I would say an awareness. You cannot change what you are unaware of. You can't fix a problem that you don't know you have. And oftentimes I ask people, you know, do you breathe your mouth? Do you breathe your nose? And they look at me like I'm crazy. Like, no, I breathe through my nose. I know I do. But yet the entire time I've been speaking with them, their mouth is wide open. So you have to be aware in order to make a change. And so that would be what I would, you know, offer to somebody is figure out what you are doing. Figure out where that tongue is, the lips are, where you're breathing from, what you do on just a day-to-day basis with your oral cavity.
I think that's important.
Yeah. At night, is your mouth open? Is it closed? Just kind of, because people will ask people and they're like, well, I don't know now that you say that. And it's crazy because, you know, my sister, she has a lot of issues with airway. And again, it's a journey to try to correct her too. But when we were little, she couldn't say her R's and people made fun of her for that. And she's always been a terrible sleeper. And I was just talking to her when I'm talking to her about all this stuff. I said, well, where is your tongue, Brittany? And I said, she's like, well, behind my teeth. And I said, your tongue it's never on your palate, right? And she's like, no, like, where is it supposed to be?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So she's like, my tongue has never sat there. My tongue is always down and it's supposed to be up. I mean, she couldn't believe it.
Even when I started with Breathe Airway and started learning about all this, I even had to ask myself, well, where's my tongue resting? I know it's supposed to be on the roof of my mouth, but
where
is it?
Yeah.
But I couldn't even tell if it was or not.
You kind of catch yourself and notice yourself.
Yeah.
You're like, no, my tongue is down.
Like, I think it's touching the top, but I also feel like it's touching the bottom. And that's what myofunctional therapy can be really good at, is knowing, do you have and how to have proper tongue position.
Can't change anything if you don't know.
Yeah.
Incorporating
a good nasal hygiene regimen.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
That's really great. We recommend Clear, spelled with an X. Clean your nose daily.
I like X Clear. This is not an ad, but I like X Clear because the main ingredient is xylitol, sweet carbohydrate found in most fruits and vegetables. And it makes it, the nose cavity, like, too slick, so.
It's surfactant.
Yes, so it's like washing your hands with soap and not just water. It actually, like, scrubs it. And
so debris won't hang around.
Yeah, and after you get sick, it takes months for those cilia to heal.
Yeah.
So you can clean your nose daily using that versus, you know, different steroids and different things. I would caution people about mouth tape. I know mouth tape's really popular and promoted, but unless you've maybe had an airway assessment, you want to make sure, especially before you go to sleep and just slap mouth tape on. If you have some reason that you're mouth taping, you put mouth tape on, you're going to either rip it or not sleep well. You know, if you want to do it during the day while you're just, you know, create a better habit, but
also if you have a nasal obstruction and you're taping your mouth at night, that breathing is going to be
horrible. You should really
horrible.
Have an airway assessment before you just
first
put mouth tape on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So, because that's become kind of a popular.
Yeah. A buzzword a kind buzzword. Of mouth taping to help with mouth breathing, but there's, it's way more in depth than that. Sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, anything else? Any points that are just burning that you guys feel?
No, next time I want to share a whole lot of other fun points.
There'll be more.
All right. Well, to all of our two listeners, if you guys have a topic that you want us to focus on next time, message us, let us know, and we'll
address it.
We'll delve into that.
Okay.
All right. Well, great. Well, thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.